Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. We are back on air. There was a scare. We thought we had to cancel the show.
Yeah, we're back. We're live.
It was scary, I ain't gonna lie. Cause I was getting frustrated. I was like, damn, the show won't start. See what happens when you have the, like, a bootleg situation going on, my man?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when, you know, in the studio, things happen. But, you know, that's why you're the super producer and engineer.
No, actually, I have to give credit to Will, man. He had faith. He was like, man, don't worry about it. We'll get it done. I was already losing faith. See where I'm at? I have no faith in myself. It's the worst, man. It's the worst. But anyway, it's the Urban Sports Team here on this episode 192. And we doing a lot of episodes, man.
Yeah, we're almost at number 200.
I know. It's a big thing, man.
So what, 8 weeks from now?
Yeah, 8 weeks from now.
Episode 200. Wow, that's a lot.
It is. We've been putting in the hard work. So I'm gonna give yourself a pat on the back, man.
Nah, I don't pat myself on the back.
You don't give yourself credit?
Nah, never give myself credit.
That's true. That makes you hungry, right? You're that Michael Jordan type. Well, Michael Jordan gives himself credit, so I guess that wouldn't really work, since he's a selfish individual.
You can't say that about him.
He's Michael Jordan. He makes you all. I mean, we've never met. He makes you all.
Don't say y'all.
Not you, but you know the people out there in the stratosphere. He makes some of y'all buy like $200 sneakers and whatnot.
Well, I mean, it's a business also.
It is. You got to make money off your people. anyway, every show is dedicated to the homie Big Ron. His birthday, matter of fact, Big Ron's birthday will be Thursday. I'm actually taking off, and I'm going to go to the grave, the burial site, say my respects, say my respects and keep it moving. But always dedicated every show to Big Ron. Phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. And that's 202-495-0904. And also, if you want to donate to Big Ron's name to help out his family, fund the money at this website, which is www.gofundme.com/CBT730. That's www.gofundme.com/CBT730. And it's on the on our official website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. That is www.walio.podbeam.com. Can't miss it. It's a big picture of Ron. So hopefully, you know, any donation you want to make, anything is treasured and it's a blessing. So we appreciate anything.
All right, let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right, as you know, we've been talking about Ray Rice for a couple of weeks now. But anyway, the Ravens have been caught up. Steve Bisciotti, owner of the Baltimore Ravens, had to come out and speak about the OTL?
Outside the lines. Doc special program that was reported on ESPN about the whole Ray Rice domestic violence and the sequence of events from the domestic violence event occurrence in February to the league's request for asking for information, and also their handling of the situation and the Baltimore Ravens handling, and also subsequently his suspension and some text messages that he sent to that Steve Bisciotti sent to Ray Rice after they released him, and Ray Rice's reaction to it.
So you saw the press conference. I missed it.
Steve Bisciotti's. Yes, I caught some of it.
So what was he basically talking about?
Well, I'll say this. I think the way they executed his press conference was way better than how Roger Goodell handled his this past Friday. Steve Bisciotti, he sat down, didn't sit in front of a podium, didn't have any pre-written statement, not that I saw anyway. And he just simply answered questions. You know, it was like a conversation with the press. You know, anyone who had any questions, he sat and he answered those questions. And also the Ravens provided like a document of a press document for the press to read and go over for them to be informed about kind of how they saw the events, the timeline of events from their perspective. My favorite line was a reporter asked him, if pressured, will you sell the team? He basically said, look, I'm rich. I don't work hard. So if they want me to sell it, oh, well. I loved it.
The mindset of a rich individual. It's real, though. That's a real statement. You can't knock the statement. You hear that, like, Ozzie Newsome, because a lot of people were trying to say, like, Bishotti was like, I think Bishotti said that, was it that Ray Rice wasn't 110% honest with him
about the
action, or was that more Roger Goodell?
I don't think anyone's. I know
Ozzie Newsome said like he was real with him.
Ozzie Newsome's the only person who came out and said that he was honest with me. What I gather from the multiple press conferences and press releases are he didn't give all the nuances of what happened in the elevator.
Yeah.
He may have said that we got into a domestic dispute and I put my hands on my wife, which is the truth.
It's the truth.
I don't think in all occurrences, you know, people give the full detail blow by blow. I don't think they.
Nobody does it in life. No one tells you the full truth.
Yeah. Well, I tell the full truth.
Not you, but a lot. No, I'm. But
well, yeah. I think sometimes when there's something that's incriminating against them, people care about others' perception, and they might hide a detail or two, and that nugget could be vital in someone making a determination.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course he didn't come out and say, hey, I hit my girl with the meanest left hook since that bus driver in Cleveland.
Oh.
You know, I don't think he didn't come out and say that, but he did probably say he put his hands on his wife, and I think Ozzie Newsome said, yeah, he told me the truth.
Yeah, again, the number, if you want to call the number, is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Yeah, to me, obviously, Ray Rice told the truth. Ray Rice has a situation where, you know, I think you referred to before that everything's coming out that he was honest. And these people, I mean, the Ravens, the NFL, they've seen the footage. They know of the footage. Oh, he told them the truth. And just because the world saw the footage, he's getting banned from the league for the whole season. Like you said earlier, basically he should be getting suspended for only 2 games.
Yeah, Ray Rice should be reinstated as of now. Now, I don't think there's a team in the NFL that will touch him at this point.
Exactly.
I think, you know, if he strategically partners with the right organizations, you know, volunteers and does the right things, is very contrite and, you know, follows the Michael Vick playbook, he'll be back in the NFL by next year, possibly. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone would touch him now, especially with this being October and this being breast cancer. I mean, well, October coming, and the NFL, you know, they partner with breast cancer,
mm-hmm,
and bring that to the forefront, you know, specifically, you know, an issue that's very strong about, that's, you know, that's important to women.
Prevalent
to women. I don't think anyone would pick him up in October or, you know, even November, but towards the end of the season, possibly someone will pick him up.
So do you think Steve Bisciotti should – do you think the NFL should levy some type of punishment against Steve Bisciotti?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing he's wrong of is not trying hard enough to receive the tape of what happened inside the elevator. But I don't think, you know, I don't think he did anything wrong. I mean, going forward, you do need to have protocols and procedures on if this were to happen, how do you respond? But I don't think they did anything wrong.
Do you think it's funny how they're now getting rid of Ray Rice jerseys, knowing they have just as much of a negative spin, negative play on the whole situation?
Someone has to be the scapegoat,
mm-hmm,
you know. Ray Rice is, I'm not going to say he's a patsy in this situation.
Of course,
because
not,
clearly,
yeah,
you know, everyone saw the tape and we all know he's taking responsibility for what he's done. But someone's got to take the blame.
It's funny. He's taking responsibility. He needs to be honest with you. But it's funny to me.
Steve Bisciotti, he did take responsibility. He did say that he did err on the side of judgment by not trying hard enough to get the tape. He also spoke. He said that, you know, as far as him and the other members of the front office writing letters for the pretrial diversion, that's something that I don't know. Most employers, or just about anyone who's a friend of anyone and really knows their heart, would do that. I don't think there's anyone who got into any type of legal situation and you know the heart of that person and you know that person is very contrite, very sorry, and wants to move forward. I don't think there's anyone who will say, no, I'm not going to write a pre a pretrial diversion letter for you.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I just don't see that not happening for anyone.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, we'll see. This the situation will. It's just wasting. Like the Ray Rice situation seems to be dying down. Anyway.
No, it's you don't not think dying. So? No, because down? The appeal's coming.
Yeah,
up.
The appeal. I mean, I think he's gonna win. I'm not even worried about the appeal.
I mean, I think what they're going to do is they're not going to even have the appeal until the sixth game.
Okay.
After six games, because because we're week four now.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of the bad press the NFL is getting. Once Ray Rice appeals it, I don't think the NFL.
Well, he is appealing.
No, I'm saying once he. I'm sorry. Once he does appeal and once he wins, because I expect him to win, because it's double jeopardy and it's not fair in that regard. Once he wins. Once that whole process goes down and he wins, he's not going to get picked up. So it's like, what's going to really happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you still, if you're him and you're the NFLPA, you still have to appeal it.
No. He's going to. No, he has to appeal it. Yeah. I think he has to.
It has to be heard. It has to be heard just for the simple fact that it's almost double jeopardy. No matter what, if, you know, the crime was egregious and heinous and, you know, seeing the video makes it even worse to people because now you have a real-time image of it as it happened opposed to just hearing about it.
Hey, well, yes. But let's move down to pregame. Let's go to local baseball news. Nationals currently have the best record in the NL. I believe the magic number to clinch the NL best record is three games. They're up on the Dodgers. Earlier, Adam LaRoche stated that he doubts he'll be back with the Nationals next year. If this happens, is this the right move for the Nats to go elsewhere? Obviously, they're planning on having Zimmerman at first, but is it the right move for the Nats?
Just because the Nats play in the NL, I think it is. Because if the Nats were in the AL, Adam LaRoche would be the perfect DH for them.
Well, I think Adam LaRoche would be the first baseman.
He could be a DH slash first baseman.
And
I'll say this, the only reason is because you still owe Zimmerman $74 million, I think, over 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct.
And Zimmerman's younger, and, you know, it's just when Zimmerman's in the lineup, They're a better team. But he's also a defensive liability if you put him in third, and you can't play him at left field because you have Bryce Harper playing left field and you have Denard Span playing center. And we've seen what he's done at third. So first base will probably be the best position for him because of his shoulder problems. But also LaRoche is still playing at a pretty high level for a guy that's 34, 35 years old.
And definitely playing. He's one of the best defensive first basemen in baseball. If he was in the AL, it wouldn't be an issue because you would move Ryan Zimmerman to DH and have LaRoche play first base because, again, LaRoche is honestly the better defensive player. This move has been in the works anyway. You could tell that they, due to the fact that Zimmerman's arm and the way he's been throwing the ball of late, that this move was going to happen, him playing first base. Him being left field was just like a joke to me, but him being first base was actually something that could go down. It's hard for this team to meet, but to lose a player like Adam LaRoche, I'm always on the side of saying, well, If I was them, I would try to keep Adam LaRoche and see if we can do something with Zimmerman at third. I know he's a liability, but your lineup is so potent with Adam LaRoche at first base and Zimmerman at third. If you can find a way to hide Zimmerman a little bit at third, or, you know, try to get him to make particular throws from third to first, you don't need him to be the gold glove third base, but maybe you can just have him be adequate enough to a point where, you know, you can keep Adam LaRoche. Obviously, that can happen because Zimmerman's problem is mental, physical, and mental at the moment. So it's a tough player to lose off of a guy who used to be a gold glover. I'm talking about Zimmerman, and now he can't throw. And now you're going to lose another. You're going to lose a gold glove first baseman because, you know, Zimmerman's injury, and you have to play him with the contract and the way he produces at the plate as well.
I totally agree with you. And that's starting to show off bad because we're agreeing.
I know we're agreeing too much. Don't worry, we'll disagree. We have room to disagree.
Yeah, watching football, so we'll definitely disagree there.
Exactly.
But no, just to, you know, kind of echo your statements. But, you know, if LaRoche weren't playing at such a high level and the demand for him wouldn't be so high in the offseason, he would be ideal just because, you know, he'll be 35 going into next season. Yeah. But he'll have an opportunity to go somewhere and start and make really good money.
Yeah, the problem is you'll have suitors, and the Nats won't be able to compete with it anyway. So just because they don't need to. They feel comfortable having Ryan Zimmerman at first base. So,
but hopefully they can send him off with a World Series.
That's their goal.
Yep.
That's their goal.
All right, now let's go up to 95 and talk about the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, the Orioles have clinched the clinched home field advantage in the ALDS due to the fact that the Tigers lost last night. I actually was at the Orioles game on Saturday with my cool friend Miss Ware, and it was a great game. It's the first time I've ever been to Camden Yards. I haven't been to Camden Yards since I was like 11 years old.
Really?
Yeah, and it was such a good feeling. I had like multiple pictures and
you had good seats.
No, I didn't. I had decent. It was good enough for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was right at the plate, but I was, you know, further up. I could see everything. I saw Adam Jones had two home runs in the game. I saw one of them. I was running late. So I saw one of the home runs.
Right.
It was a nice outing. It really was. I was one of the better outings I had in a long time.
Saturday was, it was a nice day outside too.
Yeah, it was so nice. It was nice. Day to watch a ball game. It really was. But then, like I said, the Orioles, I feel like they're backing into that position. They should be going for the first seed anyway in the AL. But they lost a couple of series already. Should Buck and the Oriole fans be concerned?
Hell yeah, you should be concerned.
Why you say it like that?
Well, no, just because
now we're going to disagree. Don't talk.
Headed into the playoffs, you want to finish strong. Mm-hmm. The Orioles are a team that we all know that pitching is their chief concern headed into the playoffs, and outside of the injuries and the bats that they're already missing in the lineup. But they've been able to compensate for the players that they've lost. You couple those things, you know, pitching not being strong and kind of stumbling your way into the playoffs, you know, that's reason for concern, especially they'll have to play, the Detroit Tigers?
It looks like they'll have to play Detroit, or the Royals.
Or the Royals, you should definitely be concerned, especially if you have to play Detroit with the arms they have in the post. You know, Price, Scherzer, Verlander,
and yeah, that's true. And maybe Sanchez. I'm not sure, but maybe Sanchez.
Yeah. So hell yeah, you should be concerned.
I don't think we should. Well, Buck is trying to rest players up, so I'll give him that. I'm always concerned of any team struggling before they get into the postseason. That's in any sport. But am I crucially concerned? No, because they're not really seeing the best lineups in Baltimore. During the stretch, some of the teams we're going against, they're not seeing our best lineup. The game I went to, though we did win, Nick Markakis didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the better right fielders in baseball. So we have games where we're actually let Yobaldo Jimenez, who's been struggling the whole season, get a couple starts to rest some of the arms we have. That's one of the worst starters we had this whole season, even though we paid about $50 million for
mm-hmm.
him. You know what I mean? It's not like we're aiming to get the overall one seed, which, I mean, I'm not saying we're not, but we're resting players in the process. So when you're resting players, it's not like you're not putting 110% in getting that number one seed. You know what I mean? Their main goal is to rest players, which I'm not knocking. You can rest your players. I just have a certain feeling about not going into postseason strong. You know what I mean? And at the strongest, right. at the peak of your competitiveness, like there, because everything has a trickle down effect. Now I could be wrong. I mean, Buck has done a great job. Who would have said? I wouldn't have, like maybe 7 years ago, if you would have told me like the Orioles would be competing to get an opportunity to go to the World Series, I'd be like, not with the team I've been watching over the last couple of years. So now to see this, you know, this team in this position, this team now have an opportunity to host, you know, to host a postseason game, and even having the opportunity if they get to the World Series to host a World Series, because the AL1, the All-Star game, is something special. I have a couple of reads real quick. From some folks who commented about this particular topic. Hold on. Here we go. When I was referring to if should Buck Showalter and the Oriole fans be concerned, Jeff Trimmer said no. And this is on Facebook, excuse me. James Revere said would rather they rest up and lose now than fall flat in the playoffs, which I was referring to earlier. Jason Powell said they had a few of the regular starters playing last night, but it didn't seem there was any real effort or heart. As long as they can turn it back on October 2nd, then I have no issues with just going through the motions. Mike Burris said, no, I don't think so. We always get it. Sorry, Facebook stuff. I'm sorry. I can't read these Facebook stuff. Grammar sucks. Not to be mean, but grammar sucks. Mike Burris says, you got that right. Let's go Orioles. I'll take that one.
Okay. So, you know, we have a wide range of opinions, you know.
Yeah.
But.
And my girl Curry Murray said, no, we shouldn't be worried. Thank you, Curry Murray. Appreciate it.
That's our opinion.
Yeah, we shouldn't be worried.
Okay.
Sorry, but Facebook, I need to, like, use commas. Commas still can happen.
Well, I mean, communicating via text and also with people with emails and sometimes Facebook. Well, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter, but, you know, it's really messed up.
Comma placements, people. Comma grammar. Placements.
Yeah, it's really messed up grammar.
It really is. I still love you all for participating and sending out.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate
Facebook
you all.
Comments. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just hard to read them all off when, like, I don't see comments.
I think next time, prior to the show, we'll select a couple of them and then we'll.
Yeah, then we can edit them and then make it that way. It would work
absolutely
better. So I'm blaming myself. I'm not blaming you all. I'm actually blaming me. So I'm going to blame myself. I'm taking it like Joe Gibbs used to do for the Washington Redskins. He did it like when we played bad. He would take all the blame for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking all the blame for you all.
Okay.
That's the kind of person I am.
All right. That's the anti-RG3 sentiment.
See,
but go ahead.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Why are we going on RG3? The kid's
hurt.
I'm
not going on him.
He ain't doing nothing.
I'm not. Why is it anti-RG3? That is. I think that is anti. I think anyone who's seen one of his press conferences, when he's asked a question, even if he has some responsibility.
How come we can't just say Jameis Winston or something?
Okay, if that makes you feel better, Jameis Winston.
Let me talk about Jameis Winston real quick.
Okay, let's talk about it.
All right, he gets suspended.
Yeah, because I'm interested to hear your perspective.
All right, so he gets suspended. I don't think it's as big as everybody makes it out to be, but that's just me. He gets suspended, but dude, like, comes out there because he has bad press. I mean, it's bad press because, you know, what's going on within the NFL, everybody's now, like, really touchy with things. But he's a college kid. He says a statement. In the cafeteria?
He stands up on a table in the student union.
Student union and calls somebody or what?
No, he says what do they call it? A meme?
Yeah, me. Okay, got you.
He repeated a popular phrase from a meme that, can I say it?
No, you can't say a curse word. Is it a curse word?
It's a sexually explicit.
Is it like a B? Is it with a B? What does it start with?
No, it doesn't. He didn't call her B, says
a C word.
Have sexual intercourse in her kitty.
Oh, that's it?
Yes,
that's close enough.
Okay.
Nah, who cares?
Well, he shouted that in the student union, and he was initially he was suspended for a half by Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
But once he talked to school officials, they found out that he wasn't forthcoming with the. Everything that happened, and then he ended up being suspended for the whole game.
Who cares? It's funny though.
Why?
I was talking about when he came in the sideline with the helmet.
Well, to me, it's one part of it is the equipment manager was dead ass wrong because the equipment manager knows that he's suspended, so he shouldn't have
put
he shouldn't have put the equipment in his locker. But two. You're Jameis Winston, so if you're a college kid, you have to, at this point in your life, was he like 22?
He's not 22.
Maybe like 21? Like 20? He's 20. He's 20, at least 20.
20, 20.
You have to, that's when, especially in your life, you have to come up, you start to develop, if you haven't, self-awareness. Your place in society and the environment you're in, and also your actions. So, being already scrutinized for the alleged rape, still in the crab legs, what else did he do? Suspended from your baseball team.
Yeah.
A BB gun incident.
That's what it is, the BB gun incident.
Now this. You say, okay, I'm suspended. So, I'm going to suit up, put my shoulder pads and everything on, and I'm put my shoulder pads and my helmet on. I'm going to go out here and warm up as if I'm playing. Knowing that you're suspended, why do that? That's where self-awareness comes, and you have to understand that I'm not any ordinary person. I have to conduct myself in a certain way. You know what I mean? That's like you coach basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You act a certain way when you're not around the kids.
Of course.
But self-awareness kicks in and tells you that I can't curse when I'm around these kids. I can't set a certain example.
You're not supposed to curse.
And you're not supposed to do certain things because you're influential in these kids' life and they can take those actions. And if they repeat them, then that's bad. So you have some type of self-restraint and self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston has none at all. He's oblivious.
That's my thing with Jameis Winston. You win the Heisman your rookie year. You're a redshirt freshman. You see what happened with Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. Mm-hmm. How scrutinized he was after he won it. You know what I mean? You don't learn from that. People are now looking at you like Johnny Manziel. That's actually they look at you like maybe we gave you
worse.
They look at you worse than Johnny Manziel because of something else.
Yeah,
but they're looking at you like okay. When we gave this kid the Heisman, how is he going to act after it? You know what I mean? And you're now fitting that bill. You know what I mean? That's the problem. Like, when you come to self-awareness, you should be like, all right, Johnny Football effed up. All right, after he got the Heisman. You right? I don't want to have that look. You know what I mean? So, you on that regard, you don't learn from that. Secondly, like what you're referring to, look how many times you messed up. Look how many times you messed up. And then you're going to do this? And then in the football game, you're gonna put on your helmet. I mean, you're gonna like put your helmet on. You now have to change your image. It may not be the real you, but at least for the public, change your image. All right.
Absolutely.
You see your coach chew. They can't even play it off because your coach chewed you out, knowing that you did something wrong. That's my like, dude. Mature up. Because at first I was like, Jameis Winston should go in. You know, he's probably the best quarterback in the draft. If he comes out the best quarterback in the draft, he's the best quarterback in the draft. Now I'm like, I don't think you should come out because I don't think you're mature enough yet to be ready to handle being a millionaire.
Well, he's already stated that he has no intention. Well, if you go off of his comments from last year, he stated he has no intentions of coming out this year. He wants to play college baseball and then play another season of college football.
Stay there. Stay in college because you have a lot of maturing to do. He just does. A lot of maturing to do.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, unless his performance is similar to what it was last year, then I would say come out. Someone to take that risk.
Yeah, someone will always say, I mean, money, you know.
Depending on who the number one team is, I would say you have to gauge who the number one team is and, you know, have some type of informal backdoor conversations between your people and that front office and try to gauge how interested they are and do they really see these black flag, these
red marks,
yeah, mm-hmm. is potentially damning towards your character.
Yeah,
and draft stock.
Again, the number is if you want to call in, the number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Yeah, so we're talking about Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston should I'm with you. He should gauge himself in terms of which teammate has the number one pick, like a St. Louis Rams or something like that. But at the same time, like, this kid needs to mature up because I'm looking at him like, I don't know if he's going to last in the NFL. Just mentally.
I'll say first, for me, it all starts at home. So obviously, and this is no knock against his parents because I don't know if they do it or not, and he's just oblivious. But someone isn't putting their foot in his ass.
Yeah, they ain't Adrian Peterson, that kid.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to be funny. I'm saying,
yeah, but no one. I think, you know, and I think the biggest detriment for him is, you know, at Florida State, we all know that football is supreme. And that in Tallahassee, football reigns supreme. And, you know, him getting the Heisman and him uplifting that program to a national title, with that comes a lot of notoriety and, you know, self-esteem is probably sky high. So he's probably above the law down there. You know, as he's seen, he can get away just about with anything.
He can get away with murder. He hasn't done murder yet.
But, you know, he can get away with just about anything if someone to make an excuse because all through his life, probably, he's just been passed along. People just saying, oh, that's Jameis.
You being nice, man. He's spoiled. He's acting like a spoiled brat. So yeah. I think he need to get together. I like the kid. I think the kid is a very talented quarterback. When I saw him last year, I was like, wow, this is a freshman. This is a red shirt freshman quarterback. Like, this dude is above the game in terms of passer in Florida, State.
I actually remember the episode we did after that first game against Pittsburgh. And yeah. I was like, this kid is far above and beyond anything we're seeing in college football. The ball placement, his accuracy,
exactly.
Him seeing the field just in general, you know. just off of last year, if he had came out, you know, people would have been saying he's in that once every 10-year type of prospect with Andrew Luck and Matt Ryan and guys like that. But now, you know, there's going to be a lot of concern over his psyche.
Yeah, is he all about football? Like, that's what you want to know. Is he all about football? So only time will tell. But James Winston, we are fans of you, so I hope you do pull it out and
absolutely
and become an well, when you get to the league, because you will get drafted. All jokes aside, you will get drafted and just become a top of the line quarterback in the NFL. But let's go to a guy, a local product. I saw this article anyway online. Michael Beasley.
I don't know why the hell we talking about.
Hey
this.
Man, he's local. We talk about the DMV. We're a DMV team. You know what I mean? Michael Beasley worked out with the Spurs. Is that a good fit for him?
Whoop de doo.
No, why I'll you say not my dude, well, man? Nah,
the only thing that'll save Michael Beasley is Michael Beasley. He has immense talent, but he just isn't focused. I know you've wondered why he didn't get on the floor in Miami.
Yeah, still wondering
just
about
from
that.
Everything that I've heard, it's because of his lack of focus, practice habits. He wasn't dedicated, married to the game. You know, you have an opportunity. You were the number two pick in a draft. Six years ago, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, maybe 6 years now.
Dang, you know. Tough. You came out, you were heralded, you know, like you put up the type of numbers that Kevin Durant put up in college in the Big 12.
Even better, though.
Even better, as a freshman.
You
lead
the nation in scoring and up there and rebounded, too.
Yeah. And what have you come, you kind of just, you were happy just to be picked number two, if you ask me.
You're throwing your
career away by not being as dedicated as possible.
That's the power of marijuana for you, man.
Hey, man.
The power of marijuana.
No, it's not marijuana.
I know,
it's just, you know, some people just don't have the will.
Unfortunately, he does. He just doesn't. Or hopefully he does get it. But I do think that a coach like Popovich would be good for him. A talented individual like him, he would utilize a talented individual like Michael Beasley, a great coach in Popovich who knows how to put a scorer in the best place to see. Look at Danny Green. Danny Green was a nobody. In the NBA. Yeah, he played decent overseas, but nobody since
he had flamed out.
Yeah, exactly.
In Cleveland.
If Cleveland flamed out, he's with Pop, and all of a sudden he's a known commodity in the NBA circle. He's a known commodity.
Yeah, I mean it could work out, but it's not dependent on Popovich. It's not dependent on the Spurs organization because you know if I'm Popovich, I'm saying, look, I've shown you what I can do with guys who don't have your talent.
That's true.
Do you have the dedication?
That's true.
Do you have the focus and the will? That's all it boils down to. It all boils down to Michael Beasley.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if Beasley can like finally get it. I hope the Spurs do sign him. The Lakers are interested in him too as well, but I hope the Spurs sign him. I would like that fit. Pop to me. I have so much respect for Popovich. Anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the Redskins-Eagles game. The Redskins falling to the Philadelphia Eagles 37-34, but Kirk Cousins looked like a star. 400 yards, but I have a question about Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
We'll talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap kings, nibble is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you c***s are slick. Popping s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rock a s***, who you t- trying to kid? Flip, you did opposite, you stayed the same. Backwards is still c***, you f***. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall said busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut, mustard muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzzing. Now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzards circle around his head waiting for him to drop dead, was it? Or was it cause them bitches wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now,
this
does it?
For you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. If my arms are wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see
break it down, son.
Is a sky full of light.
This song was great.
It was, man. Yeah, very inspirational.
It really is, right? I thought that was the only
one. It makes you feel better.
I do. I feel like
anything is possible.
Yeah, you know, I feel special when I hear this song. I had the cursing version one show by accident. I have two versions.
Stuff happens.
It does. Stuff happens. It's life. You know what I mean?
Okay. You can listen to our show by visiting our first official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is hosted by West Coast Steeler Fan. Please, the phone lines are open. Please give us a call at 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Also, as we stated at the beginning of the show, and anyone who's a regular listener of our show knows that this show is dedicated to our friend Ron, who unfortunately passed way too early. You can contribute to his family and his two kids at www.gofundme.com/CBT730.
All right, time to talk about the Washington Redskins Philadelphia Eagles game. Obviously, you saw Captain Kirk play his game. How you think we lost? First off, Redskins lost 37-34. We'll talk about the game, but obviously, everybody wants to know our opinions about Captain Kirk. So, how did you think Captain Kirk did against the Eagles?
He did well. He did really great. I think
really great.
He did really great. He threw for 400 plus.
If he had
another 24 yards, he would have eclipsed the all-time record for passing yards in the game.
Really great. Really great would have got a W. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, really great. I mean, his personal performance was really great.
Go ahead, continue.
If you ask me.
Continue. I agree to a certain extent. I do agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he failed Washington at the end, you know, by not finishing when he had the opportunity to. But throughout the game, he played consistently at a very high level. He kept the offense on schedule. He ran the offense the way that Jay Gruden wants his offense ran. That means, you know,
zing.
Progressions. No, I mean, going through your progressions, it's not there. Throwing down the check down. He spread the ball around to DeSean Jackson and also Niles Paul and Pierre Garçon. The play action was effective. But, you know, he didn't seal a deal, but he had the opportunity to win the game for Washington. And he threw three incompletions to end the game.
He played great to a certain extent. I mean, the first three quarters, man, I was texting my brother. It was like, dang, RG3 should sell the whole season. Dang, RG3 should ask for a trade because he's gone. So I was all for the Kirk Cousins experience. But then something changed. You know, Eagles came back. Game got tight. And I always say pressure burst pipes. And that's something that, you know, you want a franchise quarter when you're looking at a franchise quarterback, you're looking at a guy who can, you're hoping that when it comes down to that clutch situation or it's time to answer or whatever, that that guy can step up. But we'll get to that later. But in terms of his, what he did well, his decision making was awesome to me. His anticipation was great. It's like he threw people open. That's something that the wide receivers, you could tell, weren't used to. And that's why at times they didn't have their heads up ready to catch the ball, because he was throwing them open. RG3 looks for that open guy. As for Kirk Cousins, he's throwing that person open. He was on the money to the bomb to DeSean Jackson, on the money to bomb to Pierre Garçon on the sideline. He played well, like I said, through the first three quarters. He was something special. Hopefully, you know, so he should be happy about that. Over 400 yards passing. Three touchdowns. The man played well, and he deserves credit for that. Now, question to you though, you kind of referenced it. Is Kirk Cousins clutch though?
If we're just going off of what he's shown us in the pros,
yes.
At this point, no. But if you look at the full history, mm-hmm. his college, you would say that he does have clutch ability.
In college, he had the clutch gene. I watched him at Michigan State. That was his thing. He was very clutch in college. But in the pros, to me, he's shown nothing but being clutch. I don't see anything clutch about him in the pros. Look at let's reference a couple games. Last year with Atlanta, though, it was only a 2-point conversion, so it was a lot of pressure on that one. I mean, as a starter, I'm not saying mop-up duty. I mean mop-up duty coming into the game when RG3 is hurt. I'm talking about as a starter, knowing it's your team. Going off the Atlanta game, though, was a 2-point conversion. He failed. They lost the game. The Dallas game, you're going against one of the poorest defenses in the NFL last year.
In history.
All right? You have the ball. A chance to march the team down to score a touchdown. You failed against one of the worst defenses in the history of the game. We're going to this season. This season, the game against the Eagles. Not a good defense. You were carving them up.
I'll say this. Even though the Eagles are not a good defense, mm-hmm. if you looked at all three of their games,
yeah.
you know, the first game against Jacksonville, the second game against the Colts, and this game, when their defense needs to make a play, they do make a play.
But that's if they need to make a play. They weren't right. making – the plays were there to be made by the opposition, like by the offense. I'm talking about for Kirk Cousins in this game.
What I'm saying is if you look specifically the first two games – In the fourth quarter, when they need to make a play, they make a play.
Against the Colts, they got a turnover. They make plays.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying in this game, in that situation, you're on your side of 40. It's not like you're marching all the way down the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're on their side of 40. Excuse me. All you need to put the pressure off, to keep even pressure off yourself, to put the pressure on the kicker, which we'll talk about later. All you need is about 10-15 yards.
True.
Right. You couldn't get a yard, and then. It's not even that. You were making the wrong read of that situation. All they needed was to make, like I said, about 10 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get one first down. We're not even asking to score a touchdown. That's the least that we're asking for you. We're asking you for you to at least tie the game up with a field goal. Putting them in a field goal position. You have Roy Helu in the flat. You could have made that throw instead of going to Roberts. You went to Roberts, and Roberts was blanketed. Your fourth down play, Garçon ran a great route, wide open. Choked. Niles, the play now. Rewind. The play to Niles Paul when that interception happened. Eagles just scored a touchdown. Now the pressure's on you. The Eagles just scored a touchdown. The pressure's on you because now the game is. We're approaching the fourth quarter. You do a pick. Pressure situation. All I'm saying when the pressure mounts, it seems like Kirk Cousins is a little different. It's easy to come out blowing out a team. And then you could continue that. But once that game gets tight, that's when we have to start to analyze what we want in a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Because that's when that's the question people ask of RG3. Do they think RG3 is going to be a franchise quarterback? Well, that's what we're comparing Kirk Cousins to. We're thinking if we think RG3 has the potential to be a franchise quarterback, then if Kirk Cousins is going to replace RG3, we got to look at him as a franchise quarterback. And franchise quarterbacks don't choke in clutch situations. Now, let's compare him to RG3 in terms of clutch situations now. I'm going to go off his rookie year because basically Kirk Cousins, we're looking at him as a rookie starter. Okay. RG3, his rookie year, made a number of clutch plays early in the beginning of his career. Like, right? It wasn't like we had to say, well, RG3 has to grow into being clutch. He was already making clutch plays. The game against Tampa, right? When he ran him into field goal range.
Well, yeah. And I think that's, you know, cut you off real quick. I think that's the difference between these two players. Kirk Cousins is a guy that's going to do it from the pocket. Robert Griffin is a guy that's going to use his legs and his arm. More specifically, his legs during the crunch time. If you play a zone, mm-hmm. then he's going to run the ball. If you don't put a man spy, he's going to run the ball. As did Russell Wilson did against the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. He killed them with his arm and his leg to drive them down to get that touchdown. So, you know, in all fairness, that's a very fair comparison. If he's going to be your franchise guy. If he's going to prove that he's the guy here with already a guy who a lot of people believe is the franchise guy, mm-hmm. He's got to get those tough wins like he did, like i.e. against the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's like it's called the clutch gene. It's either you have that gene. We talk about LeBron James often, right? Like that against LeBron James when they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
He put up good stats. In the fourth quarter, where was he at? Let's go further down the past when LeBron was going against the LeBron was his last series against his last series in Cleveland.
Boston,
right? When he no-showed, right? He no-showed. It's right. The same thing. Like you can put up awesome stats, but when your team needs you.
You gotta respond.
You know what I mean? That's when you look at the franchise quarterback. Kirk Cousins played a hell of a game. And then the notion that Kirk Cousins, and you're talking about the running part of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is actually a mobile quarterback. If you watch him Michigan State, he's actually a mobile quarterback. He's not he doesn't run a 4.4 or 4.3, but he's mobile.
Okay.
You know, and in situations where, you know, like there's times in that game where I'm like, dude, just run it. For 5 yards, you're waiting there. It's not going to open up. Run it for 5 yards. They're not even paying you any mind. Just run it. You'll probably get 5 yards. It'll be 3rd and 5. You're getting your team. You're inching your team to field goal position. It goes to like this for Kirk Cousins. Every game is the Super Bowl for you. I'm being real. Every game is the Super Bowl for Kirk Cousins because you're putting yourself in a position to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, either for the Washington Redskins or somebody else. If you want it bad enough, you do whatever it takes to make sure your team wins every single game. John Elway, when he wanted that Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers, and he helicoptered his ass in the end zone. Same thing applies for you. This same thing. It's not the Super Bowl, but the same thing applies for a Kirk Cousins in this game. In this game, and even throughout the whole season that he's starting, every game is do or die for you. You want to prove to the world that you're an NFL starting quarterback.
You won't hear any arguments from me on that one.
All right, so I put this on Facebook, a couple responses on Facebook. Justin Eldridge said, and was referring to his Kirk Cousins clutch. He said, not yet, he isn't. Daniel Mitchell said, soon, but as of now, nope. I don't get that. Like, soon.
I don't get that soon. Like, so you know that soon it's going to happen?
You can
tell the future? No, you don't.
I feel like people who say that are RG3 haters, but people are just overly, like, just in love with Kirk Cousins. For a guy, and this is the thing that amazes me, Kirk Cousins' record as a starter is what? 1-4?
Yeah, something. I don't know. Let me
do the math because I do know this.
He started three games last year.
He beat Cleveland. He beat Cleveland. That's his rookie year.
Yeah.
That's one start. Cleveland. Lost against, so now we're going last season, lost all three games as a starter,
mm-hmm.
and then lost this game. Yeah, he's 1-4 as a starter. So we're in love with a guy who's 1-4 as a starter. Anyway, I'm a man.
I'm just in love with the impending quarterback controversy.
Of course you are. This is DC. Of course you are.
Yes. I told you last week, no one does quarterback controversy like this area. Like this
no, ain't lying. My man Vashon Will said, I will call him clutch when he pulls off a good win. We should have beat the Eagles. Not saying it's his fault, but he missed a wide open pass to Pierre Garçon at the end that could have helped us win. True, no, I agree. If he hits Pierre Garçon, we're in field goal range easily. But I'm not again pressure burst pipes. That's all I'm gonna say about Kirk Cousins. And that's all I'm gonna read right now.
Okay,
that's all I'm gonna read right now. Let's go into D-Jax. Did you know D-Jax? Did he stick it to the Eagles? I mean, he had that big touchdown play.
No.
Does it feel good
for no, D-Jax? No, it didn't.
You don't think
I mean,
D-Jax
but, can? For him, he did what he wanted to do, which was go out and score a touchdown that was over 50 yards. So for DeSean Jackson, pat on the back, you did what you wanted to do. In essence, you showed the Eagles, Philadelphia, what they were missing, which is your speed, which is to stretch the defense and beat them over the top. Even though if you look at the play, Kerry Williams was playing, it was supposed to be playing underneath, and Nate Allen turned his head, and when he turned his head, that's when DeSean Jackson went back, beat him deep. So, yes, DeSean Jackson, you did what you're supposed to do. You showed up the Eagles. You got 100-plus yards. You scored a 50-yard touchdown. Yay, whoopee, but you still lost.
I mean, I'm happy for DeSean Jackson because if it was me, I wouldn't care if I won or lost. I just knew that
I gave him the business. I showed him.
I guarantee you talk to him. He's talking to his homies right now. He's like, I did the damn thing.
I did the thing. But you know what? There was a guy that played for Philadelphia that still had a better game for you. Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy Maclin had a good game. But they're not talking about that. He's not worried about Jeremy Maclin.
He's not worried about that. Look what I did to the Eagles.
I heard if it wasn't for Kirk Cousins down the stretch, I would have a W.
Yeah. I think that's pretty. And, you know, I won't cast any aspersions on him or his priorities when it comes to football. But I'm pretty sure that his chief concern was sticking it to Philadelphia.
Right, let's just be real. All right.
And I think he
did
that.
If it was me. And I like to think of myself as a team player. Mm-hmm. If it was me and I scored that touchdown, I'm not overly mad we lost the game. Not at all.
I don't think maybe
initially, like that day, I'm pissed off that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
But after, like, when I get home, I'm chilling. I'm like, damn, I did my job. I made sure I got my touchdown. I went over the top. I embarrassed the cornerback.
Yeah.
I got my dance. I got my celebration in. They knew I meant business.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's how in his head it played out, and he's happy about that
because he let them know that okay, I was hurt, and I still made a play on you. I think for DeSean Jackson it was like you didn't want me to score, and I scored. That's what makes him feel good. You didn't want me to score, but I still scored.
Yeah, you didn't want me to succeed. Period. And
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, exactly.
So he set out to do what he wanted to do, and he should be happy.
He should be happy. But anyway, let's go into some other elements of the game. Defense. They came into that game having the best defense, well, ranked the best defense in the NFL. Eagles put 37 on them. Was this defense exposed?
No, I don't think it's exposed. For the simple fact that the Eagles are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. LeSean McCoy is one of the best running backs. You held him to like 25 yards on 22 carries. Darren Sproles is coming off of his game Sunday night, had one of the better performances of his career. So you shut down the screen game and you shut down the running game, which are two of the lifelines of Philadelphia. But we all know that's a very high octane offense. And you didn't stop the passing game. But no, I don't think they were exposed. If I were a Washington fan, I would still be very confident in this defense. But I would lose some faith in a certain guy that's paid $10.5 million and has the number of 98.
What did he do? He had a decent game. Him and Kerrigan were like in the second half, they were getting to the quarterback.
Getting to the quarterback and making a big play when you're being paid.
Dude, 11, they were smacking.
You can't say you're one of the five best pass rushers in the league. You go against arguably the best left tackle in the game, and you're shut out when you're on his side. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, he got by him.
But did he make a play?
They called holding when he had the sack. Defensive holding when he had the sack.
Yeah, so
you got by him. You can't always.
So it was a product of defensive holding.
No, it was quick. Yeah. It was a dumb holding.
It was a product of defensive holding.
I watched it because I was surprised. I was like, he beat Jason Peters. I was like, dang, he got him. And then I was like, oh my god, he got Jason Peters. I got hype. I got amped.
The sun shines on the dog's ass every once in a while.
I got hype. He got Jason Peters. I was like, he finally got him because usually
once again in the NFC East game, he shut out from making big plays.
He's going, but he got one. He has the Giants on Thursday, and I guarantee he won't get shut out.
Absolutely, because that offensive line stinks, and he's playing with the cast.
He's playing with the cast.
Yeah, that poor, offensive line. Yeah,
poor
stinks.
Rackpo, man. Like Rackpo's played good ball. I don't know why folks be getting.
Hasn't played $10.5 million.
Give him time. We're talking about three games in the season.
I'm just saying, but
he played good to me. He played good last game. Okay, what you want from him?
Hey, listen, if you say you're one of the five best pass rushers in the game, and you're getting paid almost $11 million. And you make this uproar and go on this campaign. Oh, I'm one of the greatest. Yada, 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 yada.
He don't need to prove it to nobody. He can prove it to himself.
Yeah, you do. Well, prove it to yourself. Man up and prove it to yourself, then.
as a fellow Nigerian.
Put your big boy pants on.
As a fellow Nigerian, Brian Arakpo, you give my support. I don't know these African Americans. They don't trust us. They don't trust us anyway. They don't like us anyway. Always don't. They always making fun of us and stuff.
I ain't making fun of nobody.
I didn't say you. I'm just saying. I said African Americans. I generalized it. That's all I said. I ain't say Will T.
I told you I don't like being generalized.
I'm sorry. Other African Americans other than Will
Appreciate
T.
That. Appreciate
it. All right. Darn.
You I'm had a man amongst true. Myself. I don't like to be categorized.
That's true because you had an African. You had a Nigerian friend at your job. And tell him how he did the job.
I'm not going into that story. I'm not going into that story.
Hey, man, I guess watch MSNBC. What are we talking about?
Brian Arakpo.
Brian Arakpo. Defense played well. Brian Arakpo, Ryan Kerrigan. Obviously, we lost Hatcher. Well, Hatcher got hurt in that game, but
that's big.
That's big. Hatcher's been a man child, too.
But he said he's going to play Thursday.
Yeah, he should play Thursday. Merriweather. I was very upset with Merriweather's play.
Big liability.
I'm kind of upset why Hassett would have him even on a wide receiver anyway. I know Chip Kelly moves things around, but there's no way that Merriweather should be manned up. Even if he played in the beginning of the season and didn't get suspended, he should be checking Jeremy Maclin one-on-one, period. A safety plug this. A safety on a wide receiver of Maclin's caliber should never happen anyway.
I don't know, but maybe it's just the way Chip Kelly dictated matchups in that game.
Well, he should have had a safety over top. Ryan Clark should have shaded over there anyway.
You should never put Brandon Merriweather on.
No wide receiver.
No wide receiver.
And damn near shouldn't put him on Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
So that was going to happen. And luckily Foles was off a couple of times because he had him open twice.
Yeah, he did.
So, but yeah, Merriweather. My thoughts is on Merriweather was, obviously we lost to Bakari Rambo, but this was like, dang, was Bakari Rambo?
Didn't lose Bakari.
I know, it seemed like Bakari Rambo was still there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Merriweather was bad at special teams and bad on for the defense. I was like, dang, is that Rambo with dreads?
Yeah, Merriweather don't care about nothing but knocking someone out.
Obviously. I mean, well, he gets another game. I mean, it's a short week, so he gets another game to hopefully become a safety from the U. But I was surprised. I was like, dang, dude, like – you looking like Rambo. Maybe we can re-sign Rambo.
Possibly.
Maybe, because it was terrible. Anyway, during that same game for the defense, D-Hall went down and ruptured his Achilles. Did you think that affected the game on defensively for the Washington Redskins?
No, not really, but I do know that he's a leader for that team. He not only, a leader, from running his mouth, but his play for the team. I'm just being serious. He has historically been their best cover corner. With him out, now David Amerson moves into that number one corner position, and then Chase Minifield. They bring him up from the practice squad.
Yeah, he'll be like probably a nickel, maybe not even a nickel because Vickers will be playing.
And Tracy Porter, is he healthy now?
They're working on that. We'll see how that happens. They're hoping he'll be healthy. But but I'm a fan of Breland. I think Breland going to be a stud. I'm high on Amerson. I actually think Breland's gonna be better than Amerson.
You do?
Yeah, I like. But I think he's more physical. He's around the ball more than Amerson. Amerson was annoying me in this game against the Eagles because I have so much respect for Amerson, so much respect for the ability, but he was letting wide receivers that should not be named beat you. You know what I mean? Like Cooper, Riley Cooper, the racist was like getting by on him. And then it was like,
what do you think Riley Cooper said after he beat him on the play?
I can't say it. I got you, ninja. Said ninja. Got you, ninja. You know what I mean? Like, here, touchdown, pick cotton. I'm black, so I can make all black jokes I want. I don't care. But yeah, so I'm just not like, I was a little annoyed with Amberson. I was like, dang, man, you letting this racist like fry you? And I'm like, and it was like a, it was a big Thursday.
Well, we don't know if he's racist.
We know what I mean. I'm making jokes. Yeah, nah. He still said racist statements, so I can call him when I want to. Right? I have all ammunition to call him a racist at the moment. He may not be a racist, but I have ammunition.
You do.
You know what I mean? But it's like, dang, you let this dude catch it on you. And then it was like, then you let this other third string dude catch it on you. I was like, that is Wes Welker looking dude. I don't know, man. Another slot receiver.
Oh, I forgot. I don't know.
I don't even know his
Matt,
name.
Matt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, you let this, like, you're supposed, we're looking at you as being the next, like, shutdown corner for the Washington Redskins.
Next shutdown corner?
Yeah, we are. You know what I said? Oh, okay. Shutdown corner. And then you're getting beat by these
individuals. Everyone can dream.
It's like, is this not a good look? You know, this is not a good look. So I'm going to need you to, like, I'm going to need him to make big plays now. So, but, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I was going to finish the second question. Down the road, I actually think that D'Angelo Hall still has a future with this team, not as a corner, but as a free safety. What do you think? Because he's a guy who's around the ball a lot.
His career's done.
You think so?
It's done.
I think he could potentially be a free safety.
That's going to be Phillip Thomas is going to take that spot. They got that situated, Phillip Thomas.
Guy who's never on the field?
Yeah, if he's in the practice squad, he'll get that role. Phillip Thomas will get it.
You mean the guy who's been injured more than Malcolm Kelly?
Yeah,
that Phillip Thomas.
Wait. Not more than not Malcolm Kelly. I'm a Malcolm Kelly fan. Not more than Malcolm Kelly, though. Not more.
As much as Malcolm Kelly.
I want to say a degree or two less.
Okay. I mean, I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the right Phillip Thomas.
We are.
Because
in
the NFL, you have to be available and dependable.
If that's true.
He hasn't been available.
Yeah, but it's not going to be D. Hall, though. I know. Not coming off an Achilles. Nah. And it was funny. I listened to D. Hall talk about it could have been worse. It's not like I tore my Achilles. I'm like, dude, you do know an Achilles is worse than an ACL injury in terms of coming back to being at a decent level. Like, coming back from an ACL injury, you take the year after, you're fine again. Like, you're good. Mm-hmm. People don't bounce back from Achilles like that to be good football players. It's rare.
Yeah, especially, I mean, at his age. But we never know. You know, you never know if maybe he's dedicated 100% to this comeback, and maybe he comes back at the level that he was playing before he left.
Yeah, he got slower. I mean, to be honest with you, it's an upgrade anyway. Breland's better because D-Hall was getting burnt anyway. If you really pay attention to it, he was getting burnt. It wasn't like D-Hall was shutting anybody down. If you watch the games, like the game last week, he got beat by the kid Hearns anyway. He got beat by him easily, got burned. And he was getting beat left and right by Macklin too. So I'm cool with Breland. Breland, it's your time, man. It's your time to shine. D. Hall was great, man. I mean, you're a local dude from Virginia. You played well last season. Just teach the young folks.
They'll bring him back on the cheap.
On the cheap? I was trying to campaign for them to bring Champ Bailey back, but obviously they weren't trying to listen to me. I even tweeted Champ. We're like, Champ, you need to call the Washington Redskins and come back.
I think it's still too many hard feelings from when
Champ
he left.
Come back and he's jobless. There's no hard feelings when you're jobless. When you jobless, there ain't no hard feelings. I mean, this is a new regime.
Okay,
back then, well, it was different. If I'm Champ, I'm like, hey, you calling me? I need work.
Okay. Well, you know we'll see. But Chris Baker, he put an illegal, vicious hit on Nick Foles. What do you think about that?
It's football, baby. I love football. I know what I'm loving about this Washington Redskins team? We're dirty. I'm nothing wrong with being dirty. I have no problem being dirty. If you watch the Jacksonville Jaguars game, we was dirty in that game, too. This game, we're dirty. Your quarterback is running up, attempting to make a tackle because he thinks it's an interception.
But
what do? You lay that sucker out.
But the rules stipulate that a quarterback is a defensive player when there's a transition from offense to defense after an interception. Even though he does have the right to make a tackle, which I don't understand. But you can't make that type of hit on him, specifically when he's not looking, which is what Chris Baker did. So that's Bush League.
Again, you're approaching the sideline. You think you're going to make a tackle. You knock a quarterback out. I mean, growing up, watching the NFL, right?
But this isn't that NFL. This is today's NFL.
Just vibe with me, though.
I'll go there with you.
When you see that DN, like, we're going to Chris Baker in the DM. When you see that DM line up that quarterback about to smack that mug, you're like, yeah, dude.
You're like,
get up.
Damn.
I don't want you getting up. If you in the opposition, like say if you you were an Eagles fan. You were an Eagles fan, right? So Troy Aikman, you know, I guess in the back then we're close enough. Troy Aikman may have been the best quarterback in the NFC East. Troy Aikman is dead. Reggie White.
Okay.
Got Troy Aikman lined up. You right? And this is when Troy Aikman is like going to Super Bowls and whatnot. He got that good smack. He's like, you're like, yeah, smack this dude, Reggie. Get this mug. Reggie's there getting lined up, smacks him. You're saying to yourself, Reggie, Troy, I don't want Troy getting up. That's Reggie's job is to make sure Troy doesn't get up.
True.
All right. That's where I live at, baby.
That's yesteryear.
That's where I live at.
Come to the present.
Nah, I'm not
come
to the present. I'm all about knocking it out.
Come to the present.
No.
That hit is illegal in today's NFL.
No. Get out the way. Stop, drop, roll.
Peyton Manning is the smartest because Peyton Manning, when he throws an interception,
he runs away.
He runs either to the sideline or he gets down right in the middle of the field. Like there's a thunderstorm. He just gets down.
Smart. Dude, stop, drop, roll. If you don't want to get hit, go down.
Yeah, but it's still a Bush
Nick
League
Foles
play.
Wants to show that he's tough. It's okay. You want to be a tough guy? I'm going to treat you like a tough guy. That's how you look at it. You want to be a tough guy? I'm going to treat you like a tough guy.
I mean, but it incited a miniature riot.
And yeah, man.
If you're Nick Foles, you're happy with the way your guys reacted. Because Jason Peters and then Trent Cole came all the way over from the other sideline to get into the fight. So you're happy, you know, knowing that your guys have your back. Even, you know, the funny thing is, even though during that whole skirmish.
You saw it?
What?
Go ahead.
No, DeSean Jackson.
I knew it. I go say, yeah, you
just standing there. He was just standing there like, I'm good.
Hey, some people. That's why we know he wasn't gang affiliated. We know it now. Like I'm saying, that was a lie. You know what I'm saying? He can't have the gang mentality act that way. You can't have it. That's why we know there was a lie.
Okay.
See, Chip Kelly and them, they spread lies.
Okay.
Because we, hey. What's the gang life? You a Crip with blood? Like he a Crip, whatever.
But I think
that was the case. He'd be down for his homies. Red's because of red.
But I do think there might be a suspension tomorrow or first thing Thursday from your number one cornerback once they review that tape, David Amerson.
Okay, he threw a punch.
Yeah, he threw a punch.
Yeah, it was an open hand punch to the helmet. He ain't getting the
suspension. Nah, he threw a closed hand punch.
Man, punch them dudes are throwing punches.
True.
He ain't getting suspended.
He might get.
The NFL's worried about other things right now, unfortunately.
True. But, you know, this may be a reason why there's a suspension because there's a heightened sense around the NFL.
Yeah, domestic abuse.
I mean, you know, just that whole.
Abusing football players.
Yeah, that whole mentality of, you know.
The violence. I'm going to throw a punch against somebody with a helmet.
Yeah, I never understood that.
It's like the dumbest thing in the world. I'm punching a helmet.
Yeah, why
punch are you punching a helmet?
You like, keep your helmet on if you're in a fight.
Just stupid. Like Dave Anderson was there. I saw somebody throwing punches. He ain't getting suspended though, but I saw the punches.
And he threw one of those jump punches.
Yeah,
too.
Jump punches. He kept doing it. He was real like redundant with it though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
throwing a jump punch. So you're throwing a punch to the crown of the helmet. Probably the hardest part of the helmet.
It was dumb.
I don't understand it.
It's like, it wasn't smart.
Not at all.
It was one of them things I must say. Like, I was very disappointed in this individual.
David Amerson, you are wearing the dunce cap.
There you go. I'll give you that one. Let's go with the Redskins special teams. Still a problem.
It's not as big of a problem as it was last year.
They cost us the game. It's a problem.
Yeah, I will say, you know, if you couple the opening kickoff, which Chris Polk took 102 yards, and then Cobra Kai, who your franchise quarterback stated, never misses kicks. He missed a 33-yard kick. So those two things did.
Can I go back to what did I just tell you about Kirk Cousins? Pressure burst pipes.
Yeah. So, I mean, put those two things and also your defense not getting off the field when it needs to be. You know, equal parts, those two things, you know, defense and those two plays on special teams.
Yeah, I hate Cobra Kai. Hate's a strong word, but I'll say it. The special teams annoys me because the game we should have won, was it Polk or Folk? Folk?
Chris Polk.
Polk, yeah. Polk running that 102-yard kick because Cobra Kai can't kick a field. He doesn't do kickoffs, but because he's not capable of doing it.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
that he can't.
Oh yeah, his groin.
When if he had a healthy groin, he wouldn't even be able to do it. The dude can't do it. I mean, the NFL has made it easy for you, and you still can't do it. But you can kick a 50-yard field goal though. Like, I don't get it. I don't know.
Maybe it takes more torque and velocity to maybe kick it off of the
Graham Gano. I miss you.
The T.
I miss you, Graham Gano. I tell you. But no, you cost us. He cost us the game with the field goal. Like that, we go up three. Momentum's on our side, right? We had a decent drive. We didn't punch it in. We go up three. You messed that up.
Possibly.
So I'm just saying, like, and you can't kick the ball out of the end zone. So it's like, all right, you're not clutch. You can't kick the ball out of the end zone. You put our defense. I mean, our defense is now in a bad position regardless because we don't have a kicker. We can average out from the 30, 35-yard line, you know what I mean, or a touchdown.
Right.
So our defense can't – you know, we can never have it at the 20 because you can't do it. But it could be having to use our punter to do it. So I'm like – now I'm at the point where I'm like, just get a freaking kicker who can kick the ball out of the end zone and pair him with Cobra Kai. Like, let him be the kicker and get the field goal kicker and have a guy just do kickoffs. Just have that person on the roster because this is frustrating. I ain't going to lie. Like, it's frustrating having kicks – return when you watch any other. We have a good returner, Andre Roberts. He can't return stuff because most of the kickers kicking out of the end zone. Like, dude, I want that kind of kicker. I want our defense to not worry about starting from the 35, 40 yard line. Just kick out of the end zone.
Well, I think after the game, that's probably the biggest. I went out to watch the game Sunday, and
you,
I think
you watched with
yeah
with you
yeah
oh for real
mm-hmm.
Okay, who'd I go to
Same spot. I'm not giving no free
No, don't do that. I know the spot.
Yeah.
He's still a rock star there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the biggest complaint I heard from Washington fans after the game. We need the whole open tryouts. We need another kicker. And I was stating, you know, you think about it over the years, Sean Sweeson, Gano,
they all look
Cundiff.
Good. I don't like Cundiff, but yeah, you're right though.
This team has gone through a lot of kickers. You need
and
to be
now,
consistent.
Good now.
You need to be consistent. I think you need to stick with Kai Forbath and let his groin heal, and then you know, see from there. But you don't need to, after one mistake, you know, want to bring in the kicker and hold open competition.
Cobra Kai. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm frustrated. Get another kicker. I want the guy from Philly, the one y'all used to have.
Alex Henry?
Yeah, I want him because he can kick out the end zone and he can kick deep and he's accurate. I'm all for Alex Henry. I don't even know why y'all cut him for the new dude. New dude was pretty good, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, he's
yeah, he was official against us.
Parker.
Yeah, but I'm all Alex Henry. Bring him back. I'm bringing him for Washington because this Cobra Kai kid, man.
Well, I think you got to – Kai, he's only what, his second or third year? Second or third year, if I'm not mistaken?
Like third.
Yeah, I mean, let the guy – you know, consistency. You know, you got to allow him to redeem himself after his mistakes.
I'm a fourth choke artist, man. All right.
Okay.
Can't do it. Can't win with him. Can't do it.
All right, but let's transition to this week.
All right,
week four. This is a week that's quick. This game is quickly coming upon us. You know, we tape on Tuesdays. The game was on Sunday. Thursday night.
We go live on Tuesday.
We also tape it for our website.
That's true. Thank you. There you go.
So
good
Thursday night. So this is the make or break game. This is the biggest game of Kirk Cousins' career for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for real.
The biggest start because A, you're coming off a short week, prime time against a division opponent, and also you just had a career game. So how are you going to follow that up? So to me, this is probably the biggest start for him thus far in his career. This is a very telling start to see how he reacts to a heartbreaking loss, you know, because a lot of people are starting to put some of the blame because he didn't make a play on that last drive. And then all the other reasons I just mentioned, I'm interested to see how he responds. And also, I have him on my fantasy football team because Peyton Manning is on a bye week. So I'm starting him. So this is why this is a huge game for you, Kurt. And I want to see how you respond.
It's a big game for Will, obviously. Will took his personal bias into this game.
Absolutely.
It's a big game for Kirk Cousins. I agree. Kirk Cousins has to show that, A, he could beat the NFC East. And he has to show that he can set the tone and he can send a message to the whole NFC East that this team, this Washington Redskins football team, can do some damage, and he can do some damage, and he has to bounce back. Yeah, he can look at it for me. You know, he can look at this game and say, "Yeah, I had a great game stats wise." He's gonna look at that. But if you're a competitor in any sport, it burns you to know that down this clutch in the clutch situation, down the stretch in the clutch, I ain't produced. You can kind of take for honesty. You can say I played a great game, but if you ain't clutch with it, it hurts. Now, if you've been blowing a team out, you're like, oh, yeah, the swell game. Awesome. This, that, and the other. But when you don't come, like, say, for instance, like, I could be hitting all my buckets right in a row. Boom, boom, boom. I got us up to 15. Boom. But I had a wide-open layup. I had a wide-open jump shot on this dude, like, to end the game. See, we're going to 16, end the game. And I missed it. I'm going to look at it like, yeah, I scored 15. I'm a beast. But that was going to bother me. Internally, it's going to bother me. Like, I had this dude 15. I could have had all 16 points. I could have been a hero, and I didn't. I let some other dude on the losing side. I mean, on the other side, win the game. Not me. Yeah.
Well, no. It's kind of like to equate it. It's kind of like if you're dating a girl.
Go ahead.
You could do just about everything right.
Yeah.
And then that one time when she really needs you and you're not there, you're gonna hear about it forever.
That's true. Awesome.
Yeah. That's what I equate it to.
Dang, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. I take mine. My comparison sucks. Will's the best comparison. That was the best comparison.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say this is a must-win game.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but you don't think so?
I think this is as for the reasons I stated, excluding my personal involvement, I think this
conflict
is
of interest.
No, I think this is a huge game for him because, you know, he's putting together his resume.
Yeah.
You know, this would be what, start number 6?
Yeah, huh.
So he has to show that, okay, the Jaguars, as most people can see, are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia's defense outside of the second half against the Jaguars and that game against the Colts hasn't shown to be world beaters,
mm-hmm.
although they do get stops when they need it late in game. So Kirk Cousins, you have another opportunity to show consistency, because greatness is consistency over time.
Oh, I like that quote.
Consistently standing up to producing in the moment. So he has Thursday night, mm-hmm. short week, NFC East, just had a career game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come back this game? You had a heartbreaking disappointment, didn't make the plays.
So bounce back.
Show us what you could do. And I'm hoping that Kurt goes for 350 and 4 touchdowns.
I know in the fantasy segment. I already know who you're picking already.
I'm not going to pick him, but I'm hoping he goes for 350 and 4 touchdowns.
Well, I hope he does it for you, too.
Me, too.
I do. I think it's a big game. I think it's a must win. I'm looking at the schedule. We got Seattle, San Fran, the NFC
Ooh,
West.
That's,
this is a must win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I didn't put it into the context of the next two games that you had.
And even, you know, I'm just looking at the season as a whole. The Colts will be on the schedule, which is a decent team. So there are teams on the schedule that I look at like, dang, we got to win. You know, we got to get a W. So playing the NFC West, this is a must win. I'm sorry, it's a must win. So they have to win this game. That's why I thought the Houston game, the initial game, was a big win, a big game in its own right. And just to dominate that game and lose that first game would hurt the season.
Let's go. I want to go back for a little bit and play what if. First week, if Kirk Cousins is a starter against Houston, do you think that the game ends differently?
No, I don't think so, because I think I don't know because they made a lot of mistakes without RG3. Like, now it's Paul dropping that
right,
like the fumble. RG threw a great pass to him. He fumbled the ball. The block field goal, I mean block extra point, mm-hmm. block punt, I mean, those are things that RG3 didn't cause. So I'm not sure.
But do you think just the way Kirk Cousins has played, do you think that offense move is, you know,
I don't know, because they move the ball
a little bit
okay.
more consistent.
They move the ball good at times in that game. Running the ball, whatever. They had a good blend. It just they made bad mistakes, like really bad mistakes.
Okay.
Could Kirk win? I don't know. J.J. Watt was everywhere. So J.J. Watt was in my nightmare, so I don't know. J.J. Watt probably could have got to Kurt even more. I have no idea. I really don't.
That's a possibility. Or he could have got to him less.
Less, because he gets the ball out quick.
And also, Kirk Cousins, Robert Griffin, he likes to roll out of the pocket.
No, I agree.
Kirk Cousins likes to climb.
Let me correct myself. You know, that's a good. Kirk Cousins wouldn't have took that many sacks. I agree with that. Because it's back to pocket presence. Yeah, Kirk Cousins went to that many sacks. I'm not sure. Because RG3 wasn't – he didn't play good in that game. Well, he didn't play great in that game, but he wasn't the reason we lost that game. Really, it was everybody. Special teams again and, like, stupid mistakes. Like, Alfred Morris fumbling. Now it's Paul fumbling. Like, we had situations that, you know, we had things happen in that – like, well, we was about to score and RG3 botched the snap. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
I know. I asked it.
Yeah.
So, no. Hey. But, Thursday night game. We know this is a short week.
We talking about Alfred Morris real quick?
Oh, okay. My bad.
No, you're good. You're good. Real quick. Alfred Morris hasn't been, you know, last couple games, he hasn't been dominant. He hasn't been doing this thing. He hasn't been over 100 yards the last couple games. Do you feel like try to get him going in this Giants game?
I think he should. At home, against the Giants defense, I think he should get him going. I think that, you know, it only helped. You know, with the play action and things of that nature, and, you know, being able to get DeSean Jackson going over the top. I think they should. You know, Alfred Morris hasn't had that dominant game. You know, he's been pretty pedestrian. You know, he's had some fumbling issues to start the season.
Sure, but well, he's a fumbler anyway.
Yeah, which, you know, you don't want to do against, especially with a team that struggled offensively, give them a short field. And let their confidence get up.
No, so you know, I'm with you. They need to get Alfred Morris going, especially in this game. I think to me, the Giants secondary is a decent secondary. That's actually not a weakness on the team. So they do need to try to get Alfred Morris engaged in this game. They can utilize him. Then you can, like you said, do that. Get the safeties coming up. DeSean Jackson over the top. Pierre Garçon running intermediate routes. Hopefully.
Pierre got a kill too. You wonder why?
Because on your fantasy team.
Yes, sir.
He killed last week, so he should kill this week.
He did, and I was very happy. So I need Kurt and Pierre
to hook up, right?
To hook up.
Got you.
Out of those 350 yards and 4 touchdowns,
got to go to Pierre.
Got to Pierre for 2 of them.
Got you. I dig.
And 10 receptions for 120 yards.
Oh, man, Will T. But, yeah, they have to feed the beast. And also try to use Roy Helu more. They didn't utilize him more in the Eagles game. Utilize him more in this game. Do what you were doing with Roy Helu in the Jacksonville game and in the Houston, Texas game. Utilize him more. It was like you were just trying to feature Alfred Morris. Use both of them because you can keep Alfred Morris fresh. And he looked like he was a little gimpy in that game anyway. But like Will was referring to anyway before – the Thursday night game is coming up. The Redskins have obviously during the last game had a bunch of injuries. How will the injuries affect this team for this Thursday night game?
Well,
you know, Arakpo, Hatcher, etc.
Yeah, Hatcher, that's huge. He stated that he'll be able to go, but if he's not able to go, that really changes the complexion of that defense. Hatcher impacts the defense more than any player on that front seven because he pushes the pocket, which allows Arakpo and also Kerrigan to meet at the quarterback easier. The D'Angelo Hall injury, you may be able to get away with.
You're darn right you can get away with it.
You should be able to get away with it.
Shut down corner.
I mean, we don't know how Breland's going to once the prime time and the lights in the NFC East.
I won't lie to you. He's going to be excellent.
Okay, well, we'll see. And then, you know, Arakpo, he'll be playing with a cast, but he'll still be earning part of that 11, that 11 million. So, no, I'm just saying, this is a game that he should, even though with the injury, he should dominate. I'm not going to even say dominate. He needs to get at least a sack. And a forced fumble.
The dude got to do all this with a bad finger. He tore ligaments.
You're getting paid $11 million.
He tore ligaments.
I'm sorry. You can't. This is the thing. If he had just been a guy who's. If he hadn't come out saying, I'm one of the 5 best pass rushers.
How come he can't say that, Will? How come?
Because you don't have the numbers to prove it.
That's messed up, man.
You don't have the numbers to prove it. You can always say, I believe I'm one of the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one would ever doubt you. No one would ever. Criticize you because I don't think there's a man or woman alive, depending on their occupation or what they do, would knock you for saying I'm one of the best at what I do, or I'm the best at what I do.
I don't know, man. I'm not mad at Brian Arakpo for stating that.
I'm not mad either.
You're supposed to state that.
You're supposed to say I'm great.
You are.
But listen, but when you have numbers that don't back that up.
His numbers are good, man. They good. Okay. Over 10 sacks. What do you want from the man? What do you want? He's getting 10 sacks.
I want
10 plus.
I want a sack for every million you earn.
All right, he about to get that.
11.5 sacks.
He getting 11 sacks?
He's
getting 11 sacks.
11, because he's unshackled this year.
He's unshackled this year. Like roots. Unshackle me. Behold. Shut up.
That's an inside joke. But yeah, 11 sacks. That's what you need.
Yeah,
at bare minimum. If you're one of the five best pass rushers, 11 sacks. Or if not 11 sacks, I'd be cool with like 8 sacks with 5
forced fumbles.
Yeah, with 5 forced fumbles.
And a touchdown.
Yeah.
excuse me. For this game, I'm just going to go back to the topic. This game, I don't know how many. I don't know if the Giants are suffering any major injuries coming into this game. So I'm on the side of saying the Giants have the advantage. The Raiders are losing so many bodies. We're not losing, but they have so many bodies hurt. This is going to be a situation where it's going to be a tough one. It's a short week. You're already hurt going into this game. It's division rivals. So it's going to be tough. But I think the Reds, in my opinion, the Redskins are a better team than the Giants. We're at home, and Eli hasn't, you know, looked the best this season. Though we played good last year. But I think, the Redskins defense is improved, and they can take away the running game. They'll have a good shot to win this game. And Rockford's going to play. I believe Hatcher's going to play, even though he's hurt. I believe Hatcher and Rockford will play. We'll have Breland playing in D Hall's spot, which I have all faith in. I hope Porter plays, or you know they call Champ Bailey. Call Champ Bailey. There's nothing wrong with calling Champ. Call Champ Bailey. If you ain't calling Champ, we'll see Minifield and hopefully Porter will play. But and they like Minifield, whatever. He went to Virginia, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Virginia. So they like him. Hopefully he plays well and he does something. But the predictions in this game.
I'm going with Washington 35-28.
How many touchdowns does Kirk Cousins have?
4 touchdowns, 350 yards.
How many yards does Pierre Garçon has?
2 touchdowns, 125 yards.
All right. That's Will
T's prediction.
I have the Washington Redskins because I think they will score enough. The Redskins will score 28-10. They'll win 20-10. This defense will be back on track. And Eli will get sacked a lot.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll do the week in review. We'll discuss the week 3 notables. And we'll also fast forward to week 4, our predictions and our insight for the games.
It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
All these cheese popping, I'm just popping bang. Bands are make her dance, bands are make her dance. These cheese clapping, and they ain't using hands. Bands are make her dance, bands are make her dance. All these cheese popping, I'm just popping bang. Bands are make her dance, bands are make her dance. Short hair like me alone. Use one, she don't need a loan. Start twerking when she hear a song. Strip up all her income. We get tripping and then some. So nasty when she rolling. She put that air up in my hands.
Remote controlling.
This is a great Magic City song. This is a great Magic City song.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Even King of Diamonds, too.
Great. Yeah.
It's even a good Sensation song.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good Irving song, too.
Any strip club song.
It's a good Harley Ryder song.
Probably an amazing Harley Ryder song.
It's amazing. It is swell. Anyway, yeah, it's the Urban Sports Scene. Our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Like Will T said, we're going to talk about the Week 3 notables of the NFL season. We're starting with last night's game. Chicago Bears defeating the Jets 27-19. Some fans are blaming Geno Smith for this loss. Did you watch the game?
I caught a good portion of the game.
All right, so your thoughts. You do think the fans are right?
There's some truth to it.
All right, go ahead.
Geno Smith, I think we, even though it's only been one full year and three games, I think we know what Geno Smith is at this point. He's a guy that isn't going to necessarily put the team on his back and win games for you. He's a guy that you hope he doesn't make that killer mistake when you have momentum to kind of, you know, stop the momentum for you. But he's a pretty average quarterback, and I think you can win with him if you put the right pieces around him and the right coaching. Just my opinion. He threw one pick six to early in the game, and then also on the last play of the game, he overthrew Curley, threw a ball out of the back of the end zone. Didn't give his team the chance to make a play to win the game.
He drove the length of the field, got into position to try to, you know, get a touchdown, a 2-point conversion. I agree with you. Geno Smith does – well, this is the point I do agree. He turns the ball over way too much, and it's a guy I like watching. Geno Smith, I think, is a good quarterback. I have an issue with the Jets, the talent pool the Jets surround Geno Smith with, though. That's my issue. You sign Eric Decker, but that's not good enough.
I don't think Eric Decker is a number one.
Yeah, but you don't give him the tools to become a better quarterback. I mean, we're looking at a young wide receiver. A young quarterback. He needs help to be what they want to be. I mean, I look at it this way. He still threw over for 300 yards with a limited wide receiving core. That tells me a lot about him. You know, yeah, he turned the ball over twice, which was his fault. If he can kind of corral the turnovers aspect of his game, Geno Smith could be a really good NFL quarterback. You don't throw for 300 yards and be a bum to me with limited threats in the wide receiver tight end position. People gonna like Cumberland, okay, like Cumberland, but I like Eric Decker, but he's not number one. All right, he's a number two. Get him a number one to work with, you know, with an Eric Decker, and then we can really talk about Geno Smith as a quarterback. He's got Curley's a slot receiver. You know what I mean? He goes to Curley. He's a slot receiver. He's a guy he relies on. That's the only guy. Geno Smith to me shouldn't be benched. Now they could simplify the things. Need some more simplified things for him. Use Ivory and Johnson more. Really go thorough with that if you need to. Because at this point in time, you don't have the weapons to make Geno Smith look good. He threw the ball for 43 times.
I mean, but that's Martin Mordenweg. Mordenweg is going to throw the ball all around.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's not a guy that has great balance in his play call.
And I think Geno's is a good passer. I mean, before the game, he was a 65% completion percentage, which is good, right? That's a good percentage. So he's not a bad passer. He's accurate enough. We'll see. I mean, I'm kind of annoyed by it because they had Mark Sanchez. Like, he was the most accurate quarterback for the Jets, and they make it sound like Geno is anything worse.
Yeah.
The problem is the Jets' defense isn't as good as it used to be. That's a fact. It's a good defense, but it's not as great as it used to be.
They have – Rex Ryan still knows how to create the most exotic and creative blitzes. Yeah. It's just that a Ryan defense needs corners. Yeah, corners that corners. can cover.
And the secondary isn't good.
Yeah, the secondary is average at best.
Exactly. But – looks like the Bears saved their season due to the fact that they beat the Niners. And now look at this game. Are they contenders to go to the Super Bowl?
I stated before the season I thought they were contenders to come out of the NFC. Jake Cutler seems as if he's on his way to his best season, which I thought he would be the second year under Mark Trestman. He has weapons galore with Bennett,
you know what?
Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Marshall. Go ahead.
That's not even it. I forgot they had Santonio Holmes. Like, they have too many. He has too many weapons.
Yeah, he has a lot of weapons.
Way too many weapons.
He has Matt Forte out of the backfield. That offensive line is better. And for the longest time, everyone always complained about the offense was the problem. Now it's the defense. The defense is the problem.
Yeah, but they're making plays now. Our defense is starting to make plays. You named what they did. You got a pick six, and they started to get them turn. They started to get turnovers again, little by little. Fuller from VTech.
Yeah, that guy Fuller.
Three picks already. He's doing things. He's really doing things. He had two picks against Kaepernick, and he had another pick against Geno.
He had two
against Kaepernick, okay, and one against Geno.
Oh, I thought he had two. Picks
the other interception came from the Geno had two picks. He had the second pick.
Okay.
The first pick came from Mundy.
Okay.
Mundy took it to the house. So Fuller's three picks. Fuller's having a good season. I mean, maybe defense rookie of the year, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
and he was highly touted to come out of V-Tech anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this I'm with you. I wasn't a believer at first. I thought the Bears would struggle. But now when I look at the play of Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is coming into his own. And I agree with this. It looks like it's going to be his best season. This team, to me, could go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I really think this team could contend.
If they can find a way to get home field advantage, take it away from Seattle.
Or they don't have to go to New Orleans.
They don't have to go to New Orleans. They're fine with New Orleans. I don't think we have to worry about New Orleans. Them having to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think New Orleans is at a point right now where they're like that year – The year, you know, that year when they struggled to get to the playoffs. I think Atlanta. For me, I think Atlanta has that division, in my opinion. But
if
Atlanta
can stop anyone.
Yeah, their defense is not good. I agree.
Terrible.
Yeah, Ray, listen to the show.
And
right?
They can run. And if they can run the ball.
Yeah, I know. Steven Jackson is like.
Steven Jackson. I mean, runs like he has lead in his legs.
I need a running back. I may be desperate to pick him up. Adrian Peterson screwed me. Switches and crap. All right. Anyway, let's go to the Super Bowl rematch on Sunday. Seattle Seahawks defeated the Broncos in a close game. Peyton Manning had a tremendous comeback in that fourth quarter. Do you believe in moral victories through that Denver comeback?
I don't believe in moral victories, but I do sometimes believe that in defeat you can gain confidence, if that's any stipulation,
mm-hmm.
if that's any consolation, excuse me.
So
I think for the Broncos, you prove that you're a little bit mentally and physically tougher than you were last year, because last year you were just manhandled by Seattle in the Super Bowl. So you can walk away with a grain of salt from that. Also, you know that adding Emmanuel Sanders, he was the piece that you needed last year, a guy who I said would have a big year because his speed. They didn't have a speed guy last year. So those two things, I think if you're Denver at this point, you still have some concerns that your defense wasn't able to get off the field to make a play for you when you need it, even though you invested all that money with DeMarcus Ware and T.J. Ward, and you had Von Miller back. But I'm happy. I'm not happy not happy that we lost, but I'm a little bit more not happy, but confident. I'm a little bit more confident.
If I'm them, I'm happy I'm not happy. I'm mad that I didn't get Peyton Manning the opportunity to win the game. Defensive. I'm the defense. I'm upset at that. I let Russell Wilson just march down the field and score a touchdown. Drive his team for a touchdown. But I will say this, though. I'm looking at this team like, dang, if I had this team and we had this team in Denver, we would get them. If I'm Peyton Manning, I'm like, I struggle for most of the game, but in the last couple of minutes, I saw something. Like, I saw a chink in the armor. Like, I see I can pass deep on this team. I don't have to dink and dunk on this team. I can go deep and be find something. I'm smart enough to dissect this team. If I'm Peyton Manning, I see something. I build on confidence. Defensively, I don't feel good about myself. I had the opportunity to stop this team. This team, I should. If we kept Russell Wilson in the pocket and let him beat us with his arm, we would have been fine. I would look at it like that. I would dissect it. But offensively, if I'm Peyton Manning, I'm looking at it like, yeah, we could have beat this team.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game I was paying close attention to, because I also had some personal connection to it, because I had Peyton Manning and I have Julius Thomas on my fantasy football team. And Peyton, I was concerned that first half, but I knew that eventually it would start to click, and it did towards the end of the game. And he really helped me out, specifically with the shovel pass to Julius Thomas.
Yeah,
I was excited. I was like, yes, another touchdown. That's double the points.
Double points.
Yes, double the points. And then also that touchdown pass to Jacob Tammy.
Tammy.
I was hoping it would go to Julius Thomas, but I can't get everything. So nonetheless, I was still happy.
Then you got the 2-point conversion.
I got the 2-point conversion too. So yeah, I was happy, and I was like, yes, defense, get a stop, get Peyton at least one series.
You couldn't even do that.
You couldn't even do that, bastards.
Anyway, so how clutch was Russell Wilson in that drive? Speaking of clutch gene.
It's one of those things that only help personify the legend of Russell Wilson, because a lot of people are going to point to he single-handedly drove that team down the field because of the plays he made with his arms and with his legs.
Yeah.
To me, as I stated, that I've always loved Russell Wilson's game ever since I saw him at NC State and then at Wisconsin. The guy is clutch, you know, because he's done it consistently over time. Andrew Luck has done it consistently over time, too, during his young, brief career. But Russell Wilson is extremely clutch to me, especially considering he doesn't have the best receiving options.
No, he doesn't. Speaking of Andrew, you mentioned Andrew Luck. So Chris Harris came out and basically said he would take Russell Wilson over Andrew Luck. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't think Chris Harris is too far off at this point right now. I'm not saying I'm not going off of what Andrew Luck is projecting to be, because everyone's projecting him to be one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. If you just go off of his numbers and statistically. But if you also go off of what Russell Wilson has done his first 2 years, he has the most touchdown passes for any quarterback in his first 2 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He has the most poise and composure. He's able to beat you with his arms and his leg. He's super smart. The only thing he's missing, if Russell Wilson were like 6'5", like, you know, people want their franchise quarterback to be, I think a lot of people would be talking about him differently. And also, if, you know, the style of play that they ask him. But if just to put a bow on it right now, it's hard. But right now, today, I would take Russell Wilson.
See, I would take Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck has to do it without any backing. What I mean by backing, on the other side of the ball. Russell Wilson knows that, you know, he doesn't have to be in a shootout. He really doesn't have to. There's no pressure on Russell Wilson, because the pressure still is on that Seattle defense. The pressure is still on Marshawn Lynch. That team is still predicated on a Marshawn Lynch, and he's also predicated on the boom. What's it called? What's their nickname?
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom.
Legion of Poon.
So, but see, Andrew Luck, there's so much pressure on Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has no running game. Andrew Luck has no. The defense isn't that good.
But he has three number one receivers, though.
That's only one element. But just one element.
And two really good tight ends.
The tight ends. But there's no running game. There's no balance. Every offense is good with balance. There's no balance. It really is. It's no balance. And you have to protect a bad defense. You know, if you look at all, like, even when Peyton Manning was in Indy, that was the same thing. That same argument I had about Peyton Manning was like when they compared to Brady. Brady at that time, that New England defense was good. You know what I mean? They were good. But Peyton Manning had to go against one. He had to go against the New England defense, and two, his defense sucked. So it's pressure on him. Same thing applies with this team. I always tell folks, if Andrew Luck played for the Seattle Seahawks, I think Andrew Luck would make Seattle's wide receivers look good. Because it all comes back down to me, like, before Andrew Luck, when Andrew Luck got to the Indy, no one was talking about that wide receiving core anymore. Because we saw what happened before Andrew Luck was there. They were a 1-15 team. They sucked. Andrew Luck came there. They were a playoff team. Year two, they were a division-winning team.
I'll say this. Ryan Grissom, their GM, he also has a lot to do with that because of what he did in helping to turn that team around, like, from a personnel perspective.
But how many personnel moves did they make, though, to be honest with you? They didn't make that many changes.
They made the most trades out of any – if you look at it, over the first 2 years, they made the most trades in the NFL.
But the players they brought in that his rookie year – I'm talking about his rookie year – that rookie year he came in, the only real change they made were, like, getting the two tight ends you're referring to. And one of the tight ends, Allen got hurt for the whole season.
Yeah, Dwayne Allen. Yeah, but he also brought in Vontae Davis. He brought in
That was last year. Brought in Vontae Davis last year. Yeah. Brought in Ron Landry last year. Well, Ron this year, right? That was this year. Was it last year?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year. So, I mean, I'm just calling off of, like, this is a guy who changed the culture instantly. I just give him so much credit because I feel like if you gave him a defense, it wouldn't be a problem. We'll see this guy in the Super Bowl easily.
I mean, that's possible. But if you had to ask me right now, I'm going with Russell Wilson.
Well,
I'm going to
stick with Andrew Luck. If anybody has a different opinion or will have agree with either or of us, whatever, just call in numbers 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. All right, let's go to the Niners Cardinals. It was a big game. I thought it was a must-win for the Niners. They lost. Let's go for the Cardinals standpoint. can the Cardinals win the NFC East? Will they win the NFC East, or can they win the NFC? I mean NFC West. NFC West.
I think they have some pieces. You know, John Brown. You have Malcolm Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald. The run game has been almost non-existent thus far. With the coach, he's shown that he can do great things with young quarterbacks. You know, with Drew Stanton, Bruce Arians. He's shown that
Drew Stanton, the quarterback.
Yeah, he's shown that, you know, with the work he did with Andrew Luck and also Ben Roethlisberger prior to that. So he's shown that he can win with younger quarterbacks and develop a game plan around their strengths. I don't think that this card. I just don't think they have the talent to sustain it on offense, specifically at the quarterback position. I think that Bruce Arians can mask Drew Stanton's deficiencies for a couple weeks, but once you get enough tape on him and you identify his tendencies, I think that's where it's going to start to fall apart at the hinges. So I don't think that. I think they'll definitely make a run for a playoff, a wild card spot, but winning the division, no.
I'm on the side. I think they can win the West. They're 3-0. This is a team that beat the Niners, and this is a team that matches up well against these teams in the NFC West. We talk about the Niners and Seahawks. So this team in Arizona, if they get an opportunity to play Seahawks, they can, you know, play Seahawks and beat them in Arizona. And the Niners and Seahawks would, you know, do their normal battle and split. It looks like, you know, it looks like to me that the Seahawks, to a certain extent, well, Seahawks, anytime you're the Super Bowl champions, you get the best punch out of the, you know, out of everybody you play. So there will be games they're going to lose that people are like, wow, how did they lose that game anyway? So say like when the Chargers beat them, like, wow, they lost to the Chargers. So there's an opportunity for this team to, in my opinion, to win the NFC West just because the battles those two teams will be going through. And everybody looks at those two teams as the best two teams in the NFC, in my opinion. That's how everybody looks at them. Do you see the Niners missing the playoffs, speaking of Niners?
No. For the simple
fact. Me either. I don't think so. Everybody's talking about like they're going to miss the playoffs.
I don't see it for the simple fact. This team has too much talent, and their coach is too good. Then on top of that, you get Aldon Smith back. The secondary will get better as the season goes on. Colin Kaepernick won't make the same mistakes. And I think he's the X factor. He's where it lies because the games that they're successful, Colin Kaepernick beats you with his legs and his arm. But when they're losing, you know, he usually has two interceptions or an interception and a fumble, a key fumble. So I think it all lies with Colin Kaepernick, but there are ways that you can help him. Definitely, Stevie Smith is starting to turn it on. Over the past two games, you've seen
Stevie Johnson.
His targets have increased. Specifically, this past week, I think Stevie Johnson had like 10 catches, if I'm not mistaken. Then you know you have Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis will come back healthy. So to me, it just boils down to San Francisco becoming healthy. And then you also remember, I think last year they started 1-2.
Something like that.
Yeah, they started 1-2 and they rebounded and did pretty well. So I'm not worried at all.
Not worried at all. I'm a believer in Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh will have this team playing right. They're going to have to get healthy. That's going to happen. And the schedule will ease up for them anyway. So I see this team definitely bouncing back. Let's go to – is there any other Week 3 notables that you want to mention?
Nope. I want to send a shout out to Julio Jones. That was 29 points for my fantasy football team. You did the damn thing, dog.
I just have one comment. Cam Newton, don't wear that again.
What the?
Don't wear that again.
What he was wearing after the game.
Don't wear that again. That's all. Don't wear that again.
I mean, he's trying to be GQ smooth.
Nah, man. Them like leggings.
Everyone has their own style.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this, man. I wish people lived in this area. Because they wouldn't wear stuff like that. Because we have the art form. We call this this term that we use here called joning, which means you clowning folks. Like, he ain't get made fun of enough as a child, obviously. You wouldn't have the gall to wear something like that.
Well, I mean, you know, he's older now. He's got a little bit more money.
Yeah, that's the confidence. Problem. These athletes think just because they have money, they can wear anything.
So, you know, they feel comfortable wearing just whatever they want to make, making a fashion statement.
That Russell Westbrook, Dwayne Wade stuff, man, that stuff needs to stop. this, like, I don't want to use the term, but good God, Michael Sam. Packers, let's go to our picks. Week three. I'm sorry. Packers, Lions, we both picked the Lions. We both picked the Lions, excuse me, Niners, Arizona. We both picked the Niners. And Arizona won. Broncos, Seattle, we both picked the Broncos. Steelers and Panthers, we both picked the Panthers. And Bears versus Jets, Will picked the Bears and I picked the Jets. So I went 1-5. I went 1-4. Will went 2-3. Yeah, 2-3.
Yeah, so I mean,
it was a terrible week for both of us.
Yeah,
but for me, it was worse.
A worse week, for you, definitely, than it was for me.
So anyway, jerk, man. This is called bounce back. We call that bounce back Tuesdays, man. Bounce back.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Panthers versus the Ravens. I'm 7-6 now. Will is 5-4. Excuse me. So ain't to the record.
Panthers at Ravens. Steve Smith is too wound up for this one. I'm going with the Ravens.
Steve Smith is going to fry. But I'm going with the Panthers with my man Cam Newton and his metrosexual.
Also, attire. You got to remember that just about all the Panthers running backs are injured.
Yeah, I'm going with Caleb Cam.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going with that defense. I'm not a believer in Joe Flacco. He's going to hit. I have Steve Smith on my fantasy football team. So he does want to go wild. Go for it, cuz. I ain't knocking that. Eagles, Niners.
Niners.
Yeah, this is a must win for the Niners for real, though. Seriously. So I think the Niners
are too physical this game. And it'll be interesting to see Harbaugh versus Chip Kelly, though.
I'm with you with the Niners because you go off of Stanford, the days of Stanford and, you know, and Oregon. The physical Stanford team usually gave Oregon problems. And Harbaugh has that mentality with the Niners. And, you know, to me, Chip Kelly still had the same mentality with the Eagles with that, you know, finesse style of football. So I'm going to go with the Niners. Saints versus Cowboys.
This one's in Dallas. If it were in New Orleans,
it'd be a blowout.
But I'm still going Saints. I think Drew Brees pitching catches all over the Cowboys.
I would go with the Cowboys, but something about the Saints Cowboys. Something like the Saints have the Cowboys number. I don't think it really matters where. I'm going to go with the Saints in this game. Cowboys defense is still a suspect defense. I do expect DeMarco Murray to get busy on the Saints, though. Do expect it, though. Patriots versus Chiefs.
Usually I would go Patriots easy. But I think Oakland showed us something last week, and I'm going to jump out there, and I'm going to go Chiefs.
Dang, so you stole my pick. Jerk. I'm going with the Chiefs. I think Oakland, like, the Patriots have been struggling the whole year. They haven't had an easy win to me other than the Minnesota Viking game. Yeah. So,
and outside on that offense, outside of Julian Edelman, there's been no one that's consistent.
He's stepping up. Even Gronk hasn't really, you know, he's got a couple touchdowns, but it's nothing serious. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, to me, played well last week. I see them continuing that play, definitely continuing that play at home. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Last week in fantasy football, Will said Bell from the Lions would get out. They didn't do nothing.
You see how that worked out.
Didn't do nothing. I said Akeem Nix would do it. He had a touchdown, so I feel good about myself. I had a good pick. So we're going to start with you first.
Okay.
Who?
This week.
In week 4, fantasy football.
I'm going to stay local, and I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins.
There you go. You was keeping the real.
350 yards, 4 touchdowns. Kirk Cousins.
All right, so I'm going to keep it local, too, and I'm going up. 295?
Up 295. Yes, you got it right.
Up 295. So I said it right? I'm going with Steve Smith. Why? Because I'm biased. I'm pulling a Will T right now. I need a fantasy football miracle from Steve Smith, man. Adrian Peterson, you screwed me by switching your child. You know, my team no more right now. Now, but, hey, Chuby told Roger Goodell, folks, if y'all want to like put HP back on the field, one person would love it, and that's me. I had Alpha Morris and Adrian Peterson. I was going into the season looking like a G. Then you took that away from me with the switching stuff. This is terrible, man. That's one of the main reasons why I was so upset with switching. I was like, damn, you can't beat your kid and I lose to Adrian Peterson. This sucks. Oh, man.
So you got it from both ends.
Both ends, man.
Man, that sucks.
Just like his kid.
but that's a wrap, you know, I guess. Thank you once again.
Yeah.
Thank everyone for listening to us. Once again, you know, we're fans just like you. You guys are the reason why we do this. We use this platform just to talk sports because we're sports fans and we're passionate about it. Everyone who supports us and listens to us, we thank you. We appreciate it. And got a lot of love for you guys.
Yes, we do. And if you, you want to listen to the show, which is taped, or you want to listen to it again, listen to it on our official Urban Sportsing website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
I'm going to throw it out. I want to pause it for just a second. I'm going to throw it out there because, you know, we've been talking about a lot about fantasy football and just how it changes your perception. Just for me,
yeah,
my rooting interest. I think next week we should talk about fantasy football and how it changes your perception as a fan, your interest in the game.
What you mean, like
players? Yeah, like, does it make you go for someone, even against, you know,
your team?
Yeah. We can save that discussion for next week.
We do that. Yeah. No way. All right, man. Big Ron, take us home, homie.